Hey guys, it's another episode.
Oh my god.
You just never know how we're gonna bring the show in from week to week, and I don't either. So that was just super random, like I tend to be sometimes. But welcome to yet another episode of the Optimistic Divorcees. We are two happily divorced women who are optimistic about life, but real about love. I'm your host, Shari. And then we have my co-host,
Charisse.
Oh, yes.
I know you was going to say co-host. My bad. But I'm Charisse.
That she is. And we like to start each episode off with a segment that we call I Do, I'm Done. And in this segment, we share thoughts, things that we've read, seen, heard that we either like and we're saying I do to, or things that we are questioning, can't stand, things that have gotten on our nerves, things that have annoyed the hell out of us, and we say I'm done to those things. So, on today, I am saying I do to you guys. You've been in this thing now for a few weeks. I think it's been, it's been some months. And, and I am just really appreciative of everyone who takes time out of your schedule, out of your life to listen to, you know, the stories that Charisse and I share, our experiences, the stories of the guests that we have come on from time to time. And, you know, I don't take it for granted. And you listening, you sharing, you putting it on your Instagram, you sending us text messages or DMs, letting us know how a particular show has affected you or something that you got from that show. It really means a lot. And I'm speaking for Charisse when I say this as well. Like, we really, 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 really appreciate it. It encourages us to keep going on those days when we're like, okay, why are we doing this again?
Exactly.
Like,
yes.
Is this worth it? And so we always seem to get messages and encouraging words, you know, during those times when one of us or sometimes the both of us are like, okay, this is enough, you know. So thank you guys. We appreciate you so much for listening to the ODs. That's all. That's my do for the week.
Shari, that was so lovely.
Thank you, Sister Charisse.
It warmed my heart, you know?
Aw. Where's the violin?
I prefer like a harp.
Okay, well, it was my segment. I might want violin.
Okay, fine.
Jeez. Oh my goodness.
Oh boy. But yes, that was great, and I do totally agree, because
you do?
Times where I'm like, I do. There are times where I'm like, no, I'm not gonna do this. I don't. I'm done.
But we've got goals. We've got goals. So we're gonna stick to this. But keep on sending your encouraging words. We appreciate it because we need it, guys.
Yes, we need it.
So what are you saying?
After all of that,
okay.
Yeah, after all of that loveliness, you know, I'm gonna go with an I'm done.
Here we go.
And I have mentioned this to Shari already before, but you know, we're just getting into Gemini season. Okay. See, that's what I'm talking about. Okay. That's what I'm talking about. That's exactly what I'm talking about. As a proud Gemini, I am sick. Do you hear me? Sick of the memes and the just bashing and the hate on Geminis. And then my friends have the nerve to send me these memes and these tweets and these posts
about, that's what friends are for.
You know, right. Crazy Gemini season, run for cover. You know, like all this crazy stuff. Have you all watched Lovecraft Country?
Yes.
So you know what I'm talking about. But for those of you who have not, Google search the Topsy Turvy Girls. Do a Google search of that. That's the newest and the latest, just I can't even find my words. That's the newest thing that people are using to just hate on and lie on the Gemini people. Okay?
I know it's the Gemini people.
They're saying that we are crazy, just crazy monsters almost. Now, if you want me to be, I could be that way. But I'm not. I know how to keep my craziness under wraps.
Can I say something though?
No, you cannot. No,
it was actually gonna be nice.
Go ahead, Shira.
I was gonna say, as crazy as they say that Geminis are, and I know, you know, some Geminis, specifically, well, first of all, my ex-husband was a Gemini, but we ain't talking about him. But as my friend, Charisse, she does have a little crazy. But I will say, I'm most compatible with Geminis as friends. Actually, all the people that I am most compatible with, I am friends with. Like, and I like really good friends with. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Aries, Geminis. So, you know, as crazy as people say that you guys are, hey, I like it.
But honestly, like I think I do a good job of like handling and keeping certain attitudes and emotions at bay.
I agree. Because I have seen the other side. So yes, I agree. You do a very good job. And you know, we've been friends for a long time now. So I have seen the evolution. You know what I mean? I have seen the growth. So kudos to you, Gemini.
I appreciate it, Shari. And I think, honestly, I think that's what kind of irritates me when people send me some of these posts like, come on, that's not me. Don't do mm-hmm. me. It could be. I'm going to be a monster in a minute. But it's not me. You know, I try to be cool. I like to be happy. I like for everybody to get along. I like to have fun. You know, that's the kind of Gemini. And then if I feel like I'm in a mood where I don't want to be bothered, then I try to stay away, you know? And that's it.
Okay. Well, guys, now that Charisse has gotten that out of her system, continue to send her memes if you want to. You might get cussed out. Right. You might get cussed out. Okay. I'm just saying. While you're looking for your memes to send, stay tuned because we have a very special guest coming up after the break.
Thanks for tuning in to today's episode of the Optimistic Divorcees podcast. If you have topic suggestions or would like to be a guest, send us an email at theoptimisticdivorceespodcast@gmail.com. And if you're not already, make sure to follow us online at The Opt Divorcees on Instagram and The Optimistic Divorcees on Facebook. To sign up for our email list, use the link in our Instagram bio or check out the show notes.
All right. We are so happy to be back with this very, very, very special guest we have with us today. My friend, our friend, your friend.
The world friend.
Right. Dori Bowling. Dori and I have this year mm-hmm. been friends for 30 years.
Wait, can we put a pin in it right there? That is just amazing. Like, for real. Because I don't know anyone besides you, Sharice, Dory, your other friends, who have the length of friendship that y'all have had for so long, and to have been able to maintain that.
Yeah.
That's amazing. But I just have to say that. Carry on, girl.
Yeah.
It is a blessing, Shari. It is really a blessing to have this friendship and this connection and this other family.
Yeah.
Now, not only is Dory my friend, but she's my boss. She's my boss's boss. Okay. Okay. And she is just a boss, period. Okay. So, Dory, can you please tell us a little bit more about yourself and how you're a boss?
Well, so I am a licensed clinical social worker. I've been in the mental health field for, 20 years. Started doing like crisis intervention work, and I've worked in schools and police stations and domestic violence court. And now your boss is boss.
'Cause I'm a boss.
At a company that does treatment really all across the country. And so I manage the entire team of clinicians that handle admissions for a pretty large, pretty successful company that treats eating disorders and mood and anxiety disorders.
Yes, mm-hmm. We love it.
We do love it. We have the right person today. And let me just say that this is not Dory's first time being with us, because for those of you who have been following us, you know, on the blog that we had a few years ago, Dory was actually our first guest blogger.
Yes.
So it's nice to have her back now on this new platform that we're doing podcast style. So thank you again, Dory, for...
I talk and I write.
Yes, talk and write. Yes, ma'am. So I wanted to just jump right on in, because we wanted to have you here because, you know, May is Mental Health Awareness Month, and it's so important to talk about that specifically. I feel like with our audience, you know, women who are divorced, women who are single, either because they're divorced or, you know, they've never been married. And specifically, our audience consists of Black women. Mm-hmm. And, you know, along with that, we just want to have that discussion, because I think sometimes we're not really just considering our mental health, because as Black women, we're so busy doing everything else, taking care of everybody else. Mm-hmm. And sometimes we forget ourselves. But my first question to you is, can you explain to us like the importance of therapy?
Oh, goodness. So it's interesting. I grew up, you know, in the traditional Black home where if something was wrong, you need to pray on it. And, you know, you could be bleeding. She like takes some aspirin. I don't know why she thought Bear aspirin fixed everything, but and so specifically Bear. And so that just was not a part of what I grew up with. And I think, you know, Sharice, we were in high school together, and I took psychology courses because, you know, at first I was like, I want to be a singer. No. And then I was like,
I didn't know you wanted to be a singer.
I did, girl. Oh, my goodness. And so then I wanted to be a teacher. And I was like, wait, I don't really like kids that much. And so I was just kind of figuring it out. And when I took psychology courses, I was like, this makes a lot of sense to me. It was always just an innate thing that I kind of got. I don't remember studying particularly hard in those classes. I just kind of understood it. And from there, I was able to see how what I was discussing in those classes could have benefited my family. You know, my parents struggled with substance use. My grandmother, love it or death, God bless her, but she lost her son. You know, when the parent loses their child, she lost her son back in like 82. And she legit barely had a life. She didn't really leave the home. She was the true sense of a couch potato. She was, you know, jolly and sweet and kind, but I don't think that she ever recovered from the grief of losing her son. And so I could see how all of this stuff was impacting my family. So she lost her son. That made my mother feel a certain way. That made her drink more, you know. Then she married my dad, who didn't really have a great father figure. And that made him. So I could see how it was impacting everyone. And even when I started in the field and in my first marriage that I
blogged about before. I was in one of my psych courses. I was still getting my master's degree. And I talked to my teacher, like, you know, I think I should talk to someone because I'm having lots of thoughts and feelings and stuff's not feeling right. What should I do? And so I got myself into therapy. And, they say things like, oh, well, that's just from your trauma. And I'm like, trauma? I ain't got no trauma. You know, you don't even realize it because this is what you're used to. This is your life. Yeah. And if you don't ever take the time to step back and talk to people and even talking to yourself, I will talk to myself, honey, all the time. I'm like, girl, you know, and really letting yourself kind of focus and filter through the things that you're doing. Because all of our actions are a result of whatever we're feeling, what's going on inside. And if you look up one day and you're like, I don't like how I'm acting, I don't like how I'm feeling, then that means it's time to talk to someone else. Mm-hmm. And that doesn't mean that there's something wrong with you. It doesn't mean that, you know, you are less than or that you're not strong enough, that you couldn't just do it on your own and figure it out on your own. Because me as a therapist, signed up for therapy.
And that says something right there, showing the importance of it, you know?
Absolutely.
And that's interesting to me that you were well into getting your master's degree before you even sought out to talk to anyone. Like, what do you think it is that even though you were studying this and knew the insides of it, what do you think was still holding you back from talking to someone?
Because I think, again, it was how I was raised. You know, that didn't really seem like an option. You know, I grew up. I don't want to sound dramatic, but we were poor, you know. And so I don't even think the only doctor I would see, I had to get glasses because I couldn't see. So that wasn't allowed them to let me walk around like that. But I didn't go to any doctor. I didn't go. I think I did like the school required dental appointments. I didn't do any of that stuff until I was old enough to know that I should take care of myself, because that's just not how my family functioned. That's just not what was going on. And so when I was learning about psychology, my teacher at the time, we had to journal, and I would write down in a journal how my Tuesday night went. And it's like, wait, you got your mother out of the tub because she had fallen asleep drunk. So she pulled me to the side like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, what's the problem? You know, like,
right, what are you doing?
Right, what's going on? Did I not pass the test? You know, I didn't know what she was talking about. And she was like, that's not supposed to be happening. And I was like, sure it is. It's always happened, you know, because that's all you know. And so it was not until I was old enough. By that time, I owned a home, you know, a car. I had already started my career. You know, I was doing crisis intervention work just when I had a bachelor's. And so I was able to make decisions about my own life and how I wanted to take care of myself. And as I was talking to that professor, it was something about her. She was one of those people that, even though she's teaching you, it felt like she was teaching me with care. You know, like I could tell that she was really tuned into people. And so for whatever reason, I told her, that was the first person I ever said anything like, I think I should get a therapist. And she was the one that recommended me to my therapist.
Wow.
Oh, wow.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That's awesome.
Tune in to the Faith Over Everything podcast, which covers literally everything, whether it's pop culture, religion, politics, relationships, fashion and beauty, entertainment, Black culture. We are talking about it all. Tune in every Wednesday for a new episode available for your listening pleasure on Apple, Spotify, Anchor, you name it. Also, feel free to follow us on the following pages. Instagram is faithovereverything_podcast, or on Facebook, the page is Faith Over Everything. Thank you for tuning in.
So we know that over the years, there has been a lot of progression in mental health and how Black people or people in general think about mental health and therapy, but do you still find that there's a stigma surrounding therapy, especially in the Black culture?
Absolutely. You know, especially this past year, I found myself checking in a lot with like my Black male friends and, you know, saying, how are you doing? What's going on? And so many of them that we were all about, you know, ha ha he he, like, not great. And being honest about it. And so I was giving out referrals left and right, you know. Mm. And I think that, again, it's now it's almost like it's like getting your colonoscopy. I feel like what's happening right now is making the awareness great and making people feel like, no, this is just another thing you do in taking care of yourself.
Yes.
Do we still have segments of the population, especially Black population, that don't believe in doing that? Absolutely. Just like we have, you know, we all got our great auntie or whatever. She's not going to get vaccinated because she don't know what that's been, you know. And so I'm talking to that person. They don't know me. I'm talking to Jesus. So, you know, I think just as you see culture progressing, there's always going to be those few that kind of lag behind. You know, we still got the KKK. And then on the other side, we have the people that are like, I love all. So it's not just in the Black community that's that juxtaposition. This happens everywhere. And but I do think that we have made a lot of strides. And I've been proud of my personal friends and people in our age range that are willing to take that step, because I know for a fact we didn't grow up thinking it was the thing to do.
Absolutely not. Talk about Talk to Jesus, drink some water, lay down.
Go lay down.
Shut up, that crying, right? there was no need to go tell anybody about your business but Jesus.
Right. That's right.
You know, that's the other thing. It was like, whatever you got going on, especially, you know, in Black culture, Black family, you keep that in the house. You don't go outside telling everybody your business, you know.
You get a whooping for that. You get a whooping for telling your business.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, but I was telling because you was already beating me. You know, like, I get beat again? Oh, no. When does it end? But, you know, I even see it's going to be a very, very different generation coming. Well, we already a couple of generations after us. But my son, who's 6 and a half, he comes home from school and he has homework assignments like, how can you fill up someone's bucket? And you know, I know what it is, but I'm like, you never talk about filling buckets. And he will tell me if I yell at him, Mommy, you yelled at me and that doesn't fill my bucket.
What?
And initially I was like, ugh, he's going to be soft. And then I was like, wait, no. He's going to be emotionally intelligent, right?
And that's
what we want. That's why we try to be optimistic in this time of singleness, because we're dealing with a lot of folks that are not emotionally intelligent, that were raised to think you keep it to yourself. And that just eats you up inside. That eats you up inside. And it makes you not love yourself and not have the awareness to know how to love someone else.
Amen to that, girl.
Isn't that something, how even no matter how educated you get or how much experience you have, like your first thought was, oh, he gonna be soft. Like
you're
still holding on to those old ideals. Like that's great.
But that's what everybody also has to realize, that going to therapy, you know, you talk about it one time, that's not gonna fix anything. Nobody has a magic wand. Change is a conscious decision every single day. And all of these actions, because again, like I said, what's eating you inside is making you behave the way that you behave. So without me having that conscious thought of like, oh, wait, you know better than that, you know, and making sure that I respond in kind to that and say, you're absolutely right, honey. Mommy won't yell. Next time I'll talk to you like this. And then, you know, we can fill each other's bucket. But I had to catch myself, because that's not what I grew up with. And that's going to be in any area. If you've always struggled with anger, if you've always struggled with self-doubt, those things will still creep in there from time to time. And you're going to have to check yourself and say, no, I want to make a conscious decision to think differently, to behave differently, to respond in a different way.
First of all, that's just amazing that he has that awareness and that he's learning that, you know, at such an early age, because can you imagine how much different it would be for us as women to come across more men who had that mentality and knew that it was okay?
I just want to be a bucket filler. You know what I'm saying, fellas?
Yes. Not a bucket pourer outer. Right. Don't take my water and throw it out. Don't do that. Fill me up. Oh, that's another conversation.
Right.
For another time, child.
I know, because look, I will go down the rabbit hole, okay?
Honey,
I'll be looking for a glass of wine at 10:30 in the afternoon. a bottle of wine.
Girl, you free for the next 30 minutes.
All right.
Can we get a free session?
Let me get this session.
You're right.
I mean, yeah, they're doing it over Zoom now, so that's the way it goes.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Which, you know, speaking of that, I feel like maybe that is an easier gateway for people to feel like it's okay to get help. Definitely. Like, have you seen that now that it's not, like, it doesn't seem as intimidating, I guess.
Yeah. And, you know, I think that's a lot of thing. That's the thing that therapists have to think about, too, when you're building out your sort of therapy space. Not a lot of people want to go into Hope and Healing, you know, LLC.
Right.
They might not want to be seen coming in and out of there. So I think that virtual did make it a lot more accessible to people. And you have things like
a good name, Paul.
I know, right? I'm like, I hang me a shingle. But, you know, I think it's easier because there's less judgment, right?
Yeah.
And I think for the therapist, it can be beneficial because now you're seeing someone in their space, in their home, in their comfort.
Yes.
That issue of coming into the office and do I knock? Do I ring a bell? What do I do? Does she know I'm here? You know, because my therapist brought that up to me. I would come and I know it's my appointment time. So in my mind, I'm like, she'll open the door because she knows I'm here. I wouldn't ring the bell. And so she come out like 3 minutes later, like, have you been here this whole 3 minutes? And I'm like, yes, but I didn't want to disturb you. I didn't know. I'm on time. You know, and she's like,
I thought that you were also clairvoyant.
Right. And she was like, it's okay to ask for what you want, to seek out what you need. And I was like, you know, like,
message.
Right. Oh my God, it's so deep. I ain't even sat down. You know, like, so I do think that the virtual space is making it a lot easier for people. And you got people that are working, so the hours don't work. Now you can do it on your lunch break, taking a walk in the park on your phone. You have people that don't necessarily have the way to get there. You know, if you got a therapist downtown, I don't want to pay $25 for parking and a $25 copay from a therapy.
Yeah.
And so it just, I think that has really, really helped increase access to it, honestly.
Yeah.
Because now it's literally right at everyone's fingertips.
Mm-hmm. And I feel like it would make a person a little bit more apt to open up because, like you said, like they're in their own space, so they're feeling a little bit more relaxed and comfortable.
Absolutely, yeah. Because it can be intimidating, I know, to walk into this office. You're just meeting this person. Simple things. Which chair do I sit in? What, you know, like if you're thirsty and you need some water, do you ask for water? It's just, there's so much that can go on because there's already so much anxiety just built into the experience. And so I think that I really do think that it's a good thing. And you get to see people's pets and like cat butts walking down the screen when you're in the session.
Definitely put us more at ease.
Right, you know?
Right.
Who doesn't just get lifted with seeing a cat butt?
Right.
Like, speaking of cat butts, let's talk about this panorama that we've been in.
Okay.
Lord. Yeah.
So, you know, there's been a lot of relationships, marriages, a high rate of divorce because of the pandemic.
Mm-hmm.
So with that, you know, being divorcees, former divorcees, well, hell, me and Cherise, we still divorced, but, you know. With that comes loss, you know, comes grief.
Yeah.
And now you have this whole added element of the pandemic.
Yeah.
So what are your thoughts on dealing with loss and grief, specifically in a pandemic, when it comes to a relationship that has gone by the wayside?
Yeah. You know, I think honestly, the pandemic, the stress of that, and then you add in social unrest. This last year has been tough.
Yes.
You know, very, very tough. A lot of people lost their, you know, like their work family, you know, people got their work husbands and stuff and their work wives and not in any sort of like philandering way, just legit people that you're used to talking to and you get a connection with and, you know, they feel your bucket a little bit. And and now it's just you and that person sitting in the house all day looking at each other. You can't, and you can't go anywhere. You know, you can't go anywhere. So now folks stop brushing teeth and taking showers. And I think that what happened is a lot of people got a lot of time and opportunity to realize that they didn't like each other anymore. They didn't like each other because that's what we were all just going through life, right? And then it was like, and slow down, stop. And now what do you have? And that gives you time and opportunity to take stock of you, take stock of that person. And but with that, then you also have loss of family members, loss of friends because of the pandemic. You can't turn on the news or the TV, even shows. And I appreciate it because I think that they're getting the message out to larger audiences. But some of us like to escape in TV. Now the TV shows are showing a pandemic. And now I was watching Million Little Things or whatever it's called. And and now they brought up George Floyd again. And I was all over again, like, oh, here we go. Girl. You know, like, and so
it's, when I tell you, I felt the same exact way.
I just needed a moment.
Bring it into
Just give me some corny romance, you know, like whatever. And so I think that it was just an overload for people. And you're finding a lot of people that are either really flourishing right now, honestly, because they're taking that time to figure out who they are because that pause gave them a moment to reflect and kind of get better and do better. And whether that means ending a relationship or not, because sometimes ending the relationship is doing better. And then you have others that have gone into like the sunken place. You know, and that's why, you know, where Sharice and I work now, our phones are ringing off the hook because they just don't know. They don't know what to do, where to go, who to turn to. And you end up with all these maladaptive coping skills, drinking, you know, disordered eating, sex addiction, just various things that people, I think, are turning to because it's just been relentless this last year. There really has not been a break. And then, you know, the only thing I can say is that Trump got out of office. That's our only win.
Girl, listen.
had he won, I might have checked out. I might have like, that's it. I'm going to the mountainside.
I've had enough.
Right. I'd be up there just me and my baby eating like twigs and berries or whatever because it
really,
was too much.
Can you imagine?
No, and I don't want to. I don't want
to. For real. Because at one point, we didn't have to imagine.
Yes.
You know, like at the very beginning, we didn't even have to imagine. Like, we experienced it. So to be with or in the midst of a presidency with someone who has some sense.
Yes.
Yeah.
It has felt a lot different. Yeah. Yeah.
Oh, my God.
So personally, how would you say you've dealt with the pandemic and your mental health? Like, how has it been for you?
So, again, when I was, and it's so funny that you say this, that you brought this up, that it wasn't until I was already getting my master's degree that I got counseling. But when, you know, Sharice is familiar, I'm pretty sure you're familiar too, but my mother and my brother both died in 2000, 3 weeks apart from each other. And I was in undergrad and I was doing my, you know, take it to Jesus thing and trying to push through. I was an undergrad. I was working full time. And I just, it all kind of crumbled. I started having panic attacks and I did not see anyone. I saw like a bag of Oreos, like cookies were my coping mechanism. And I got into a little scuffle on campus and I told the teacher, you know, everything that was going on. And it was like, you should take a withdrawal. So I withdrew from all my classes. I took incompletes. I stopped working and I laid down because that's what I knew how to do, right? Go lay down. Mm-hmm. I laid down and I ate cookies and it took my bestie, Tiffany. She was going around to places and filling out job applications as me. So I started getting calls like, hey, you applied here? And I was like, I did not. You know, and that's what got me back up and moving. So now fast forward to this current sort of situation that's been going on. I had started even before the pandemic, again, Sharice, you'll remember around my birthday last year, which was February, I was wearing a heart monitor.
Yes.
Because I thought I was dying, right? But I was having panic attacks again. And so I you know, my doctor was like, yeah, so that's what it looks like. And I actually did. I started taking anti-anxiety medications for the first time ever. And it was like night and day. It quickly improved how I was doing. And now even when it's high stress and I can feel things revving up, I know to like take a step back and chill out a little bit. But that's only because I bothered to look into it. You know, I was like, oh my, I got a baby, I can't die. I never thought, oh, this is anxiety.
Yeah, right.
So that's been sort of my stance with it. I do a better job of allowing myself to take a step back, turning off the TV, turning off the everything. I will love just sitting silently now. That's also because I'm old. You know how our commercials loud to y'all now? Ooh,
girl, yes.
So loud. but I will sit in silence and just be smiling to myself like a little fool. Mm-hmm. But I, you know, it's like, it's just peace. And so I've had to learn how to get peace and, looking at my life and my relationships and what is it that I want to foster and grow and what things do I need to let go? What people aren't filling my bucket. And I've been making very conscious decisions over the last year.
Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, or good night. I'm Dana, aka Dynamite781 across the social medias, and I am here to tell you about my podcast that is currently streaming on your favorite listening platform. It's called This Should Be in a Book. People often tell me that the things I say should be in a book, but I didn't want to write a book. So I decided to release my knowledge podcast style. New episodes are available every Monday, and you'll be able to listen to my insight on this thing called life, 3 points into poem style, minus the poem. So after you finish listening to this podcast, head on over to This Should Be in a Book to listen and subscribe. Hope you enjoy.
Well, you've dropped a lot of nuggets, a lot of good, wise words for our listeners around this topic. But if there was one thing, one message that you could share to a woman who maybe is trying to decide whether or not she needs to go to therapy, mm-hmm. what would you say?
So, being that I manage the, you know, clinical assessment team, we do this all day, right? Asking people, and I kind of start with, why are you asking yourself that question? Because if you're asking yourself that question, that means there's something that you need to discuss. You know, you don't get to that question just because. So I would say, what's going on that question is even presenting itself to you? And then the other piece that I think I always end like an assessment with this, and I ask people, how do you feel about you? Do you love yourself? Mm-hmm. Because I think if we approach ourselves and our lives and the way we're behaving from a stance of love, like, how would you, if you saw a loved one doing that, what would you say? If you heard a loved one saying that, if you heard them behaving that way, then would you think that they need to change something? And so then love yourself the way you love those around you. If you're doing things that you wouldn't want to see other people that you love do or experience or go through, then it might be time to make some changes. Oftentimes when I ask people if they love themselves, I get a pause and they're like, I don't really know. And if you don't know how you feel about you, how do you take care of you?
Yeah.
So that's where I would go.
Man, listen, first of all, another good one. For real, because you oftentimes like don't even look at it like that.
No.
You know,
yeah.
Again, it's like you're so busy doing.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
That you're not even stopping to ask yourself like that important question.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
And then mm-hmm. it's always easy to see what to do for other people or how, yes. you know, mm-hmm. how yeah. other people should do things. But mm-hmm. when it comes to you,
right,
man,
you just out here living buck wild, you know.
And I'm not a therapist, but I would like to give this piece of advice. Mm-hmm. I think sometimes when people go to therapy, initially, they may be turned off by mm-hmm. that certain therapist or the mm-hmm. experience they had. And I would say, don't stop there. Like,
yeah.
just mm-hmm. because you had a bad experience with one person doesn't mean that's how all therapy experiences absolutely are going to be. Just absolutely like sometimes you have to shop for a primary care physician or a mm-hmm gynae or whatever, mm-hmm, you might have to keep shopping for yeah that right therapist that you connect with.
I'll take it even lower than that. You know, you can go to Gap or whoever, and you can try on 5 pair of jeans in the same size, and each one of them fits yes differently. It is okay to keep shopping until you find your right fit, right? Because the therapist is doing you a service, but it needs to be servicing you
yes
and what you actually need. And if you're sitting there, you're like, yeah, they show up to the session on time, and yeah, they're talking, they got their notepad or whatever, but you walk away not getting anything from it and not feeling like you're moving forward the way you want to, then that's not the right fit. And it's okay. And it's even okay, I challenge people to have that discussion with the therapist and let them know mm-hmm why. Because I'm not going to lie, there are a lot of people out here in this field that don't know what they're doing. They might not mm-hmm be doing that great of a job. They may have become complacent. They may need to go see a therapist themselves because they're absolutely struggling with some things right now. So take your time, find the right fit for you. You deserve that. Mm-hmm. You deserve it.
I'm so glad we had you on just to talk about this, to normalize it, even though, you know, it's becoming a little bit more normalized mm-hmm nowadays. Yeah. Because let me tell you, when I finally found a therapist, I was like, I didn't know what I was missing all this time. Like, I did not know. Like, I should have been doing this much earlier. I feel like yeah I had been doing myself a disservice, you mm-hmm know? And so many people I know talk about, like what you said, Sharice, you know, you have a physician, you know, mm-hmm, for your physical ailments, but you need to have someone for your mental health. It's just yes as important.
It is. Yeah. And not only that, it affects a lot of things. You know, your brain is where everything is coming from, mm-hmm, right? So if dopamine, serotonin, all of those things are off, then that'll affect you in ways you have no idea. Your yep your energy level, your ability to like feel things and feel excitement and get joy from things. That's all a health issue. That's all yeah something going on in your brain. And so if people look at it that way, then maybe then they will, like I said, show up for their colonoscopies. And I'm finally yes getting my mammogram.
Amen.
I've been avoiding,
about
but I'm
time
doing it.
Jeez Louise.
I was like, because I'm like, I'm fine. Ain't nothing wrong with me, but how about I just go and find out?
Right. Exactly. Be sure. Better safe than sorry. Okay?
Exactly. Exactly.
Yes.
Yeah, you know why? Because so I love true me, honey. I love me. So I'm going to go
right
and find out.
That's right. That's the message of today.
Yes.
Love yourself.
That's right.
Mm-hmm.
Love yourself.
Yeah, and you know what, Sharice? I'm picking up this vibe that you were encouraging Dory for a while to go check on this mammogram.
Yes.
On these mammaries.
Right. Mammary glands.
We supposed to be
so
on
just like
one.
Sharice.
Right. I know. I was like,
But just like Sharice was encouraging Dory to go yes check out those mammary glands, okay? Listen, yes, if you know a friend, have a friend that you know needs yes to get some help for their mental yes health, it's okay to encourage them to do so. So
absolutely.
I yeah hope that, you know, with what has been shared today, that you'll feel comfortable yourself going, or yeah as a friend, if you know someone that you feel encouraged to go and encourage somebody else to yes go and get mental
mm-hmm
health.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yes. And it's literally, there are so many ways to access it. So for those people that have health insurance, if you go on your health insurance website, the same way you can search for a primary care physician or like Sharice said, a gynae, you can put in mental health specialist. So, mm-hmm, you know, licensed clinical social worker, licensed clinical professional counselor. Those are, if you put those in there and put your parameters, if you're willing to travel 5 miles, 10 miles, they'll give you a list mm-hmm on pretty much every single insurance panel that yep you can find this information. Sometimes it's about just doing a Google search for those who don't have insurance about what community mental health resources are around in your area. So if you need to go to Google and hit community mental health, then put in your zip code. That is how you can access free or low cost services as well.
That's really,
thank you
really
for
good
that
to know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think of people, that's another barrier that keeps people yes from not going to
absolutely
therapy, because they're like, What do I do? How do I
where? How? Yeah.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I had my first session with the new therapist yesterday.
Oh.
And I found her via ZocDoc.com.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Oh. Mm-hmm.
So you can find any type of provider there under the insurance that you have and your location, whether you want male or female.
You can make your appointment and everything on ZocDoc, right?
You can make your, everything.
Oh, cool. So
that's another resource.
Yeah. We're going to share all of this on our Instagram page so people will have access to it.
Absolutely.
So, Dory, this has been great. I mean, if you want to be our resident mental health specialist, you know, I think
sure
that's a good thing.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, I kind of like y'all.
A little bit.
A little bit. A skosh.
So do you want to tell the people where you can be found, what you got going on?
Well, I am on, you didn't create this. Cherise has she created my Facebook, because I'm the worst, but, she did teach me how to use my Instagram last year,
right.
A year ago. Lord. I am the Dory Ginger. That's TheDoryGinger on Instagram. Find me there.
Find her there. I need to find her there too. Hello.
All right.
I'm gonna find her there right after we get through talking.
All right. I got you, girl. I got you.
No, girl.
I haven't even been on there that long. I don't I don't know.
I'm gonna find her and follow her.
Last week, Cherise had to teach me how to do a post.
Girl.
So you'll find me there. Yeah. I don't know what you're gonna find. Me just wandering through the darkness. Right.
Right.
Me wandering through the darkness.
It's okay. Like you'll get the hang of it.
Instead of in her 40s.
Right. Look. Shoot.
That is
I embrace that. You know, I've been saying pocketbook and stuff. This is what happens when your best friend is your grandmother growing up watching stories. And
Lord.
Listen,
what's your favorite? I have a testimony. Right. I still watch my stories.
What is it, Days of My Life?
No, Young and the Restless? Girl, Young and the Restless, honey. Yes. The Newmans and the Abbotts, honey.
I love it.
And on that note.
Right,
Since this is
I'm a good therapist. I know.
Right, a seniors meeting. I know.
An episode of Cocoon.
My God.
Okay, well, if you want to follow me and Shari, because we're a little bit younger.
Right.
I am Au Naturel on Instagram. That's AUNATUREL.
All right, she spelled it out. Mm-hmm. And I can be found at Shari Lachelle, SHARILACHELLE. I almost forgot how to spell my own name, y'all. There was a little pause. I know.
Now that was a real senior moment there.
Yeah, right. It was, right? I'm going to just chop it up to this conversation that we just had, like the last 2 minutes, talking about pocketbooks and Young and the Restless and stuff.
We decompensated. It's okay. It's okay. Yeah. It's been a stressful year. And we lost it a little bit. We gonna get it back.
It's coming back.
I'm currently
it's
having back. A flash.
Yes. Yes. Grandma.
Oh my God.
That fanning don't come for me.
Got my so ATM. Anyway, guys. Until next time. We hope that you have enjoyed the show and got a lot out of it. So we'll talk to you soon.
Bye.
Optimistic about life. Real about